It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
3 minutes past the hour in our nation's capital. You're tapped into the Team 980. It's the Chris Russell Show. Lynnell Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell. We'll take you up to 4 o'clock before we hand things over to Craig Hoffman. He'll take you on your afternoon drive home. Phone lines open, all but one line. Excuse me. Phone lines packed, all but one line. 301-230-0980 is the number. Taking a look at the job that Adam Peters has done in his first offseason as the general manager of the Washington Commanders. I want to preface some of what I'm about to say with this. We're at the mercy of the evaluator. I have been on board with each and every move that this front office has made this offseason. But now looking back at it, as we sit here 10 days away from the season opener, I got to put some of these moves back under the microscope because we have four corners on the roster and it's August damn 30th. We play a game next Sunday. And we got four corners on the roster. And let's be real, only one of them is worth a damn. Talking about Mikey Sanders still. You drafted Johnny Newton with the 36th overall pick when you have the highest paid defensive tackle duo in the NFL. That's where you chose to go with your second richest draft pick? Okay, I love Johnny Newton as much as the next guy. I also love him a lot more when he's on the field, not in bubble wrap. Because see, at 42 and 43 overall, the Texans took a national champion in Kamari Lassiter at outside corner, and he has been locking Stephon Diggs up all camp long if you read Texans Twitter. During their joint practice with the Rams, he had Cooper Kupp in a damn seatbelt. So he could be our starting outside corner. He's theirs in week one, and they got Super Bowl on their mind. So when you look at what Washington has right now, you return your corner duo that gave up the second most touchdowns in NFL history a season ago in Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juste. So if I'm AP, if I'm looking at AP, I'm wondering, did he properly allocate the resources? 43rd overall, Max Melton, Rutgers, starting outside corner for the Cardinals. He's big time. Could have him here. Now, the one thing I would say about the secondary and why I give them a glimmer of hope is this pass rush. If they can find a way to scheme up pressure with the pen on a consistent basis, it makes the job of those corners a hell of a lot easier. And I think there's a reason they kept six safeties, because we may not see two and three corners on the field at a time for Washington. If your personnel doesn't say you got that, then you shouldn't play that way. Let's go out to Lou. Wants to tap in. What's going on, Lou?
Miguel, what's going on,
bro?
How you doing, man?
How you doing, brother?
Not a whole lot, man. I don't know where to start from, man. I think you should kind of take it easy, Miguel. You know, the dudes, they just got here. So I think, you know, we should give them time. Yeah, we should give them time at least the entire off season. I know they, you know, Adam, he just got here like four or five months ago. So they didn't really have the entire off season to think about what they want to add and things like that. So, you know, they working on whatever they have right now. And, you know, I'm not, you know, my expectation for this team, you know, is not up there right now, maybe next season. And then, but this season, I mean, I'm still concerned about that O-line. That'd be my number one concern. You got a Ferrari with no insurance. You got a liability insurance. I don't get that. Like, I didn't understand.
That might be the line of the day. You got a Ferrari with liability insurance, Lou. I like that.
Yeah, because I didn't understand the Johnny Newton, you know, draft pick. Like, that's like, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, I mean, they saying he's a beast, but
he is. College tape speaks for itself, Lou. I just
like you.
But
you needed an O-line, though.
You could have added offensive line help. You could have added secondary help. Lou, I appreciate the call. We got to get to a bunch of other guys. But, I get it. Anyone that's questioning the Johnny Newton pick, especially considering the fact that he hadn't practiced basically yet to this point, I hear you. The offensive line, I don't think, is as big of a problem spot as people are making it out to be. I think that quarterback and the play calling will ease some of the issues that they have. Sib is out in Virginia. What's going on, Sib?
What's up, man? Look, man, I want to just say this. That's the first time I agree with Lou, actually. But you're going crazy, man. You got to calm down, first of all, okay? I'm on Doc Walker's K-9 crew, and I've been a fan for 47 years.
Hey, congratulations,
come on,
Sib.
Man.
How do you honorary member?
No, I'm not trying to. I don't. Hey, look, that's an honor, man. It's Doc Walker, not me. It's not about me. It's about Doc. Anyway, look, here's the thing. You cannot be telling me you're screaming young right now. This is way too early, man. Considering how we've been all these years, over 25 years or plus with Snyder, no structure, no nothing. I mean, you're not going to know until maybe a year, 2 or 3 years. And you know, let's face it, man. Neither you, me, or anybody on this radio station and all the callers know better than Adam Peters. The guy does that for a living and everything. I know it's good for talk show and talk radio to get something out there and, you know, talk about it. But come on, man. Let's be real. I mean,
let's just be real. I'm calling it how T.I. is. Go ahead.
No, the other thing is that he was saying long term. Well, you haven't even played a game yet, bro. You haven't seen anything yet, you know? So anyway, that's my two cents, man.
Sib, I appreciate you. Look, this isn't me panicking. It's me telling it how the hell it is. See, y'all want someone to come here and kiss the ass cheeks of Adam Peters. Look, he's great. I'm the one that coined the slogan, we're at the mercy of the evaluator. I, of all people, understand that this isn't a quick fix. But I'm looking at the initial moves that you made. And in hindsight, the Johnny Newton pick, when you've got Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juice giving up touchdowns to backups, kind of looks like it was a luxury pick. When you've got the highest paid defensive tackle duo in football, when you have a second rounder backing those guys up in Fildarian Mathis. It's okay, because when Kool-Aid McKinstry has his first pick with the Saints, that was pick 41, by the way, when Kamari Lassiter is an AFC champion with the Texans, 42nd pick overall, by the way, corner. When Max Melton is a part of the rebuild and turning around the Cardinals defense, we're going to look at ourselves and say, damn, I wish we had those guys and not Johnny Newton, who can't see the field. Now, Johnny Newton may end up being a baller. But looking at it right now, when he's not practicing a week before the game, I have to raise questions. And this is not me being critical of Adam Peters. This is me putting the decision-making under the microscope. I don't got to kiss ass. I got to be real. Kevin's in Virginia. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, doing? I totally agree. There was a reason Johnny Newton fell. And it's because he had an injury history. And it seemed like we grabbed him without even considering that. And now the chickens are coming out on the roost. The other thing that I questioned was at the time was the trade with Philly, where we gave up at least one of our second-round picks. I don't remember all the details there. We gave them Cooper DeJean. And we could have used those two picks on some studs that really would have stuck. I mean, we did get Sennett. We did get Sanders Hill. I questioned Luke McCaffrey over, like, Adonai Mitchell from Texas. So there are some things, there are some decisions made during the draft that I was, like, scratching my head a little. And, you know, you don't want to question these guys because they're professionals. You want to give them the benefit of the doubt. But I think they might have missed on a couple of players that really would have started for us, and we still have question marks going into the schedule. So
it's tough.
That's just my take on it.
Kevin, I appreciate the call as always. Look, I look at the first month of the season and the receivers that you're going to have to go against. That's why I'm putting the Johnny Newton pick in question. You had a stretch in the draft, picks 41 through 43, where three straight corners went. And you could have had one of those guys, but you chose to draft a defensive tackle instead when you're already rich at the position. That, to me, is why I'm putting the decision under the microscope. Now, I can completely see a scenario in which Johnny Newton goes out and is an absolute badass next year. It's not out of the realm of possibility. It's not a major question whether that can happen or not. He's got talent. My question is, did you choose the right talented player? See, make no mistake about it. He is as talented as they come. It's why he was available where he was. It's why you picked him where he was. That's why he got drafted that high with all of the injury concerns. Talent's not the question. Your best ability is availability, and he's not. And Kamari Lassiter is. Max Melton is. Kool-Aid McKinstry is. And you're rolling out the same starting corner tandem that gave up the second most touchdowns in NFL history a season ago. Yet I'm supposed to feel confident? No, sir. Ron is in D.C. Hope it ain't Ron Rivera. What's going on,
Ron? Man. Appreciate you, bro. I appreciate the criticism about it. Well, just putting it under the microscope, like you say, man. A second round pick at a position where you're definitely loaded is questionable. The only angle I could give him on that is Allen's contract, coming into play in the future, and then already having that settled by taking Johnny. But at corner, definitely. Definitely not confident. Hopeful. I like the way you put that. Definitely hopeful, but far from confident. Forbes, I still don't see the size, to compete with Evans or JJ or anybody relevant, any of the top guys. So, it's a process, man. That's the best way that I can look at it, man. I'm gonna give him the time, like we all are. But
for sure.
Yeah, no problem giving the no problem putting it under the microscope, man. It needs to be that. It needs to have that pressure and that criticism from somewhere. Ass kissing going on, bro.
Ron, I appreciate you, brother. Look, and Ron kind of highlighted what I'm saying, because I think the way that I'm coming about it could be misconstrued to say, well, you're being overly critical of Adam Peters. You're not being fair. I'm just not kissing ass.
Where in the hell did you learn to kiss ass like that? Would you take a class? Did Bethany College offer that as like extra credit or an elective?
You know what?
Man.
That's tough. 301-230-0980 is the number. Let's actually get out to our pal at Annapolis, since you want to make sound bites for us all each and every Wednesday. My friend, how are you?
Hey, I aim to please, my friend, but you have to remember something, okay? The Texans and just about every other team in the league didn't whiff on the last 4 years of their first-round picks, so you got to start there, okay? At least take that into consideration. And also, I think Johnny Newton is going to be the eventual replacement for John Allen, because John Allen's going to end up getting traded this year in midseason. You watch. I'm calling that right here at whatever time it is, 2:14 on the Chris Russell Show on a Friday, that John Allen's going to get traded. Johnny Newton will take over for him. But, it is unfortunate, but it's just the hand that they were dealt. And to your point, yeah, they could have taken these other guys, but it's all who's on your draft board and who you think is best. And maybe they didn't know about the foot injury, but, I'm going to give it a chance. I do think they're going to have to try and sign a free agent. I heard like Xavier Howard and some other guys are still out there. I don't know how much money they're going to cost, but they need to get some more bodies in here. But I'm going to close my call on the final thing. Linnell, you let me down, okay? Because you talk about you got an air mattress that's spilled with SpaghettiO stains and everything, and you're at the studio and all that. You could have been there this morning to take the chops from Sasha Banks.
I know.
She could have been smacking on your left breast, man, and you let me down. You let Denton take it for the team, and I could have lived vicariously through you as I always do. And you let Denton get all the fame. You're my wrestling brother, and I was counting on you to be there with that goddess. I mean, like I said to you in the text message, it's like Angel Reese on steroids.
Oh, wow, did you hear that?
Well, Denton is wearing it for all of us here. First of all, I mean, Athan, appreciate you as always, my brother. Balls of steel from Denton Day. I mean, you can hear it when she chopped him each time. I was a big fan of The Big Show, and I'll never forget Michael Cole saying, those hands are the size of a honey-baked ham. Imagine getting smacked across your chest by any damn body, yet alone, what do they call it, the CEO? Mercedes Moné, she is a stallion, by the way, Athan. I will give you that. I will give you that. 301-230-0980 is the number. Let's get out to new official SSG AP.
Finally, Linnell Willingham.
My brother. Congratulations, big dog.
Acknowledge me.
Woo!
Brother.
My man.
Hey, man. It was very hard to hold back the tears, man. I still can't believe I posted that on social media.
Not
but,
for real, man.
Yeah, I look pretty ugly when I be crying. But, hey, man, I appreciate it.
Hey, look, we done seen you with the Jordan meme, AP. Don't fake on us now.
Hey.
Travis Thomas got it somewhere in the archives.
Hey, I might as well use my own face at this point. Hey, I was crying like, man, what was that? I was crying like Tyrese yesterday. Hey, but look.
Good gracious.
Hey, man.
Congratulations, that's awesome, man.
Hey, I appreciate you, man. Definitely long overdue, man. I'm going on 19 years now. But as far as what you've been saying, man, I'm in lockstep with you because, like, I mean, as they say, or as our keeper of the K-9 say, Doc Walker, the eyes don't lie, man. And from what I've been seeing, our incumbent returning corners that somehow made the team, because I'm like, I'm looking at the moves of people getting cut. I'm like, dang, they earned a spot. That guy earned a spot. And then I'm looking at Forbes, and I'm looking at St. Juice, and I'm looking at the technique. And I'm yelling at the screen, get your head around.
AP.
You know?
AP. Hey, Slim, I don't know if you play Little League. I don't know if you play high school. They've been telling us that since we had to weigh in for the game.
Bro, turn your head. I'm like.
I know. It's pitiful.
Get your head around.
It's pitiful. Get your head around
so you don't get a flag. Thank you. Get your head around so you don't get a pass interference. And definitely get your head around so you don't give up points. And two corners that have been, I mean, just.
Used, abused. Call it how a TI is, AP. Don't sugarcoat it now.
And they've been doing the same damn thing. And I'm like, look, the only thing I can think about is with our new D coordinator, what's his name, Witt. The only thing I can think of is he probably came here and said, I can fix them. Because he's known to be a cornerback whisperer. So I'm just hoping.
Hey, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this, Slim. And I appreciate the call. He's going to have to be a lot louder than a whisper to get them fools act right, man. I appreciate the call. 301-230-0980 is the number. Coming up next, Logan Paulson, one half of the Take Command podcast. He joins us next to take a look ahead at Tampa and put the cornerback position under the microscope. That's next. Oh. 301-230-0980 is the number here on the Team 980. Chris Russell Show taking you up to 4 o'clock before we hand things over to Craig Hoffman. Linnell Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell here this afternoon. Jam-packed rest of the show for you coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll hear from former Clemson head coach Tommy Bowden, get his thoughts on the massive slate of college football coming up this weekend. Right now, though, I want to go out to the BetQL guest hotline where we find our pal Logan Paulson, one half of the Take Command podcast. Logan, what's going on, my man?
Not much, though. I appreciate you having me on, man.
Indeed, I appreciate you making some time for us. I have been pretty critical of what Washington has right now at the cornerback position, Logan. It's August 30th. And they've got four corners on the roster. Why should I not be concerned about what they have at that position group?
The thing is, I go back and forth on this myself, you know, kind of based on how guys performed last year. But I will say that cornerback is one of the positions that I find in my draft eval and just watching the NFL season on season that is most impacted by coaching. And I think when you look at Joe Witt Jr. and what he's been able to do over the course of his career, not just in Dallas, and he's in Green Bay as well, he's able to take groups and maximize the talent there. And so I believe that, you know, under his tutelage, kind of whoever they have back there is going to play better. I think his understanding of how to create a pass rush after watching Dan do that in Dallas for so long is also going to impact that group in a positive way. So even though they might not be the best, most dynamic quarterback group in the NFL. I do think they are guys that have talent. I think, you know, Manuel Forbes is a first-round pick for a reason. I think Benjamin St. Juste, everyone talks about his tremendous testing numbers, his tremendous size. You know, Mike Sandersteel is a special player, you know, really, really special player in terms of his college film and has shown flashes of that here. So I think there's lots of things to be excited about. And if you say, hey, we're going to use coaches to maximize what they do and put them in a system to maximize what they do, I think this group's definitely going to be punching above their weight class.
I can agree with you on that, and I feel a little bit better already, Professor Paulson. So I appreciate you easing some of my concerns, my friend. But you mentioned Mikey Sandersteel. I think he is the saving grace for that position group. I think what he has shown from the first snap in OTAs is that he is a pro. He is going to go about his business as a pro. And the hope is now that they can start logging hours of how much film guys are watching, hopefully he prepares like a pro as well, and that can help him be even better on the field. The balance that they're going to have to strike, though, Logan, is how long can you leave him at the slot corner spot? I think a big reason Noah Igbinoghene made it over Tariq Castro Fields is because we've seen him play inside and out. When do you get to a point, Logan, where you're thinking about putting Mikey on the outside full time, or are you there yet?
I mean, I think that's something you're thinking about all the time. You know, he is a special football player, and I think much like the offensive line, everyone talks about position flexibility on the offensive line. A big reason you do that is so you can get the best five out there. With the DB group for us and for our conversation, it's the best three. Mm-hmm. So is that Forbes, Sandersteel, Benjamin St. Juste? And on first down and base defense, is it Mike Sandersteel and Benjamin St. Juste? Like, what kind of configuration works best there for that group is what we're kind of going to, what I'm going to be watching and can't wait to see how they utilize in against Tampa Bay, because obviously there's some safety types, there's some, you know, dime linebacker type guys that they have in that safety room that could maybe get in this rotation, but it's really about getting the 5-6 defensive backs that you feel the most comfortable about, but it's kind of their roles within that structure that I think is also really important. So, you know, Joe Wood Jr.'s talked about that in his press conference. Dan Quinn's also talked about that in his press conference, just how to use Mike Sandersteel, what's the best way to maximize that group. So I think that's definitely something going into Tampa Bay I'm really going to be keeping an eye on.
Yeah, speaking of the matchup against Tampa Bay, one guy that I know fans are hopeful can contribute in that week one opener is new wide receiver Noah Brown. Let's just be realistic here, though, Logan, because I bring you on to be real, my brother. You know how it is being brought in at this point in time in the offseason. How quickly do you expect him to get up to speed? And then ultimately, Logan, when he is ready to contribute, what type of guy is Washington getting?
Yeah, so, I mean, just speaking from my own experience, like I was cut in 2016 and I went to the Chicago Bears and I was expected to play in 5 days. And
wow.
So like that wasn't the whole offense.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That was a kind of a package for me that I had to learn. But I do think in 2 weeks he should be able to have some kind of package for him if they choose to use him that way. Now, if he's inactive, I wouldn't be surprised either. But I think there are worlds and there are professionals out there that can learn offenses very, very quickly. And I think he could potentially be one of them. I don't have that kind of familiarity with him in his career, but he could do that. I think what you look at is you've got a guy who's, to me, is very similar to De'Ami Brown. He's big. He's a fast player. He's got a little bit more suddenness at the top of his routes. He's a little bit more kind of technical when it comes to route running. I think you see a guy who a couple times over the course of last season had really big explosive games. You watch him against Cincinnati, for example, and he was able to find some big plays downfield. Now, those are schemed up touches for him. He's not like creating versus one-on-one coverage the way you would maybe expect. So I think that's something to kind of note there. He also, not for how big he is, not super consistent at the catch point, but I think he's a very, very good football player, very solid football player. Very similar to kind of like OZ in the sense that like OZ in Philadelphia 2 years ago had 600 yard receiving because the system's right for him, the scheme's right, his opportunity's right. I definitely think I think this new addition is very similar to that. And like if the situation, the ecosystem's right for him, he could be very productive. And depending on how they use him, like one of the things that stood out to me just watching his route cutups was just how effectively he runs a comeback and how in this Cliff Kingsbury offense, how that ability is so, so valuable. So I do think he's a guy that can contribute. And if the situation's right, the utilization's right, he could be very impactful for this wide receiver room.
Yeah, I think they're going to need that. I think he brings, as you mentioned, another bigger body guy to that receiving core. The big question is, one, can he stay healthy? I know that was an issue for him the past couple of years. And then two, Can he or how quickly is he going to be able to contribute? Logan, you mentioned this offensive line. I don't know what the five starters are going to be exactly when we get geared up for Tampa, but who cares about who they have up front? I want to look at Tampa Bay here for a second quickly, big fella, because this is a unit that if you do not have a plan, Cliff Kingsbury, if you cannot scheme things up with the pen, as you like to say, Logan, you can be in for a world of trouble. Yaya Diaby gets after him with the best of them. Logan Hall, Vita Vea, Kalijah Kancey. Does that group put fear in your heart, Logan Paulson?
Absolutely, and I think the thing is, like, once you start getting into the NFL season and you start breaking down defensive linemen and watching as much film as I do in season, you realize that there's a lot of really good defensive lines out there and a lot of very, very good defenses. And I think Tampa Bay is definitely probably in the top 12, I would say, going into the season 2024, and obviously things are subject to change. Mm-hmm. But I think when you look at just how effectively Todd Bowles rushes the passer and blitzes and puts guys in good positions to be successful, you mentioned all the talented pieces they have along that defensive line. It could be pretty scary pretty quick. And so I do think that group and Cliff Kingsbury need to make sure they have a plan for the pressures. And I think that's one of the things about Todd Bowles that's really, really challenging, is that he is so good at scheming up protections. He understands kind of what you're trying to do with your protections. He understands protection calls. You'll see him check the linebacker specifically check the different blitzes. So they definitely have their work cut out for him. But I do think there are advantages to what Washington's done this offseason in terms of not showing a lot. It's going to make some of that game planning by Todd Bowles a little bit more challenging. But it's definitely a tough first game for an offensive line that and a play caller. To kind of maximize those abilities for sure.
Logan, quick nugget for you here. Preseason, Cliff Kingsbury's offense ran no huddle 56.7% of the time. Do you see that as one of the ways Washington's going to try to slow down this Tampa pass rush?
I definitely think it'll be a part of it. I think it'll be a tool. I don't think it'll be 57% of the time. That number seems a little bit high for, consistency in an NFL football game. But I think it'll be a piece, right? I think they'll find moments where they get favorable personnel packages. They'll go in that no-huddle hurry-up and hopefully prevent Todd Bowles from getting those complicated blitzes in for sure. So I definitely think it'll be part of it. I think they'll have play-action pass. I think the screen game is going to be on full display. I think the quick game, which has been a huge part of the preseason plan, will also be here. So I think they'll have a lot of tools at their disposal. They've shown a lot in camp. The camp practices about some things they can do. So in order for them to come out victorious, I think, like you alluded to, Cliff's going to have to do a really good job with the no-huddle, with the quick game, with the screens, with the play-action pass, moving the pocket to make sure he can stay one step ahead of Todd Bowles.
Logan, two more here for you before we let you go. When you look at, we talked about the secondary and the cornerback spot, four guys under contract right now. I expect them to make some sort of addition before the start of game week. How much do you think this pass rush is going to be able to help them out? Because I think as critical as people have been of the cornerback spot, I think the biggest question mark on this football team, I would say right now, Logan, is the pass rush and how consistently they're going to be able to generate a rush. Going up against a pretty damn good offensive line to start, they've got a big test in week one right out the gates as well.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the first four guys out there, Dorrance Armstrong, Daron Payne, John Allen, and Cleveland Farrell, are going to do a really nice job. I think they're good pros. I think Dorrance Armstrong is probably like a 10-sack-a-year type guy, maybe more if scheme elevates him. I think Daron and John have shown you what they can do. I think last year is a little bit of a down year, but just kind of getting snippets and just watching practice, I do think that the rush plan that they're going to give these guys is going to be significantly better than what they've had in the Ron Rivera era. And just talking with some of the guys that I consult with around the league and just listening to some of the tools that those different teams provide the rushers, I'm hoping that they bring some of that here. So I think that first group's going to do an excellent job. I think Big Phil was playing his best football I've ever seen him play through the Miami preseason game and the New England preseason game. I think Deontay Fowler does a great job rushing the passer. So there's six pieces that I feel very, very confident about. And then all of a sudden you got Jerzon. We don't know, right? Yeah. And then you say Jamin, how does he play in with live and real bullets? And then Jon Baptiste. So those rotational pieces I have some questions about, but they've definitely flashed enough in preseason to say that they warranted these roster spots. It's just about how they come together versus varsity football players in NFL games and come together. But I do think that initial group, coupled with Frankie Louvo, I think you got to throw him in there also as a designated pass rusher, are going to be able to do some damage you know, again, I trust Joe Witt Jr. I trust his process. And so I think the week one plan is going to look drastically different than anything we've seen in the preseason.
Cannot wait to see it, Logan. I'll let you go on this. 53-man roster came out, the initial one came out on Tuesday. When you look at a couple, when you look at one guy, I guess, who was, you know, potentially on the bubble, or you weren't sure if you were going to make it or not, is there any one of those guys that you think will ultimately end up contributing here early in the season?
I mean, that's a great question. I think the first one that jumps out, but I kind of knew he was going to be on the roster, was Tyler Owens. And I think just his special teams value early on is going to be tremendous. I mean, I had to do a cut up for Coach's Show with Dan Quinn, and just watching, I've never seen through a preseason a more impactful special teams player in my 10 years playing or since I've been covering the NFL. Like, it was spectacular. So if he can bring any level of that to the games on Sunday, like, he's going to be a special teams demon. And, you know, with the new kickoff rules, I think that's going to be really impactful for this roster in terms of influencing field position. And, you know, field position is such a great corollary to defenses stopping offenses from scoring points. So if you can play like that, I think he could be very, very impactful for this team for sure.
Logan, appreciate you giving us some time, my man. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks, and I appreciate it, bud.
Logan Paulson, one of the absolute best, talking all things burgundy and gold. Make sure you check out the Take Command podcast wherever you get your podcast. Logan and Craig Hoffman do an excellent job with that. Still to come here on the Team 980. We'll take a spin around the National Football League before we get out of here. We'll talk a little bit more college football, as we've got a massive slate of games coming up tomorrow. But first, a trending alert. This trending alert brought to you by our friends at Floor & Decor. Unbeatable prices, unmatched in-stock selection. Floor & Decor has more styles of laminate, vinyl, tile, wood, and stone for anyone looking for the right look at the right price. Your next beautiful space is at Floor & Decor. Nats back in action tonight after taking 2 of 3 against the New York Yankees. It is a 6:45 first pitch. You can hear it over on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. Jake Irvin expected to get the start for Davey Martinez's club. Dylan Cruz, 4-for-11 start to his young career. Can he keep the bat hot in his second career series against the Chicago Cubs? That coming up later tonight over on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. NFL news, Chiefs and Ravens set to kick off the regular season next Thursday. Chiefs are going to do so shorthanded. Marquise Hollywood Brown, one of their marquee free agent acquisitions, out with a shoulder injury. We found that out a few moments ago. And the Dolphins, despite a rough end to the season, extending head coach Mike McDaniel through the 2028 season. And that is what's trending.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
301-230-0980, the number here on the Chris Russell Show. We'll take you up to 4 o'clock before we hand things over to Craig Hoffman. He'll take you on your afternoon drive home. Big thank you to our pal Logan Paulson joining us in that last segment. If you missed any of my conversation with Logan, download the free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to the 225 segment to hear Logan give his thoughts on the cornerback position and some interesting matchups to look forward to as we get geared up for week one of the regular season. Washington and Tampa, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time. I can't wait. It feels like this offseason, and I guess that's what happens when You got a GM search to worry about. You got a head coach search to worry about. You got massive amounts of money to spend in free agency. You got a quarterback decision to make at the top of the draft. It feels like this offseason flew by. Honestly, it feels like just yesterday we were getting the alert from Adam Schefter that Ron Rivera had been fired. And then it felt like, you know, the floodgates have been open ever since. It has been nonstop transactions, nonstop moves, you know, all leading up to week one against Tampa. And as we get into next week, which is officially a game week, I know here on the program, we are myself and Chris and Matt are going to be picking games all season long during the regular season. Whew. And I said it last week. I would have a hard time picking Washington to beat Tampa in the season opener with the current duo at outside corner. I just would. So we'll see if my mind will change between now and, I guess, next week when we make those picks. And if you know anything about the why I see it, pretty good chance that the opinion will change between now and then. But I'm curious to see what Washington does at outside corner. One thing I mentioned with Logan that they could potentially do is moving Mike Sainristil to outside corner. And I know that really worries a lot of fans out there because of the size of Mike Sainristil. But I think keeping Noah Igbinoghene over Tariq Castro Fields was for that reason. Noah I has played slot. Noah I has played outside. We've only seen Tariq Castro Fields at outside corner. So in an ideal world, I think you have Benjamin St. Juiced and Mikey Sainristil as your outside corners, and then Noah I in the slot in an ideal world. But even then, I don't know how confident I could be in that trio. Because let's be real here. There are going to be certain weeks in the season, right? There are going to be certain weeks in the season where you're not going to go against a team like Tampa that has three bona fide studs at wide receiver. They've got Chris Godwin. They've got Mike Evans. They've got Jalen McMillan, who has come over out of the University of Washington and been an absolute godsend for that group. They have legit depth at wideout. Can Washington handle that? That is my big concern heading into week one. And if you take a look at the schedule, probably going to be the big concern for the first couple of weeks of the season, right? That's just the way that things are going right now for this group. But look, we're here. It's go time. I hope they make another addition to the roster at corner. You can't go into the year with four corners on your team. You just can't. I would dub that organizational malpractice. Now, the one thing that's interesting to me is that they're keeping six safeties. Now, I don't want to give away too many state secrets, but there were some looks that I've seen in practice throughout the summer where there is one corner on the field at a time, where there are two corners on the field at a time, meaning you're going to see five and six defensive backs on the field at once, whether it's your dime linebacker, whether it's your slot that's really a safety, or your nickelback is the proper term for it. They're going to be creative, and they're going to have to scheme things up with the pen, talking about Joe Witt, to really get this group to maximize their talent, to maximize their ability. And to be quite honest with you, like I think the group has all the ability in the world to be able to do that. I don't think it's far-fetched to think that they're going to be okay at corner. I've just got to see something to give me optimism and hope, and it needs to happen fast. Now, the big saving grace that we continue to talk about is the pass rush, right? Can this pass rush make life easier for Emmanuel Forbes, for Benjamin St. Juiced, for Mike Davis, for Mike Sainristil? And I don't know if that's the case or not. Cleveland Farrell, former top five pick, has never been an impactful pass rusher in the National Football League. Now, Logan, with some super high praise about Dorrance Armstrong, Washington's free agent acquisition at edge rusher, saying he could be potentially a 10-sack-a-year guy if maximized in the right scheme, I don't think that's far-fetched either. We've seen a 7.5-sack-a-year from him, a 6.5-sack-a-year from him. And think about this. This is my saving grace for Dorrance Armstrong and why I'm a little bit more bullish on him than the casual fan is. I think the volume of snaps that he's going to play this year in Washington is not comparable to anything he's done in Dallas over the past several seasons. Playing behind Tank Lawrence, Micah Parsons, Sam Williams, even a year ago, was a part of that rotation. So you hope he can be more impactful and bring you some legit juice off the edge. But he's still a guy that's relatively unproven as an edge rusher. At the end of the day, I think my biggest question mark, and let's just be, you know, factual here, or give you all a key in the map of Linnell Willingham. I think question mark and concern are two different things. I would say my biggest concern for this team is at the outside corner spot. I would say the biggest question mark in terms of unknown is the pass rush. Straight up. They're going to run stunts and twists and games and loops and all that to try and create favorable one-on-one matchups up front. But at the end of the day, guys got to win. And I think based on what we saw of the Dolphins joint practice, where this D-line really was able to pin their ears back and make life difficult for Miami starting offense, I think in that case, if they're going to be that impactful, that's the hope, I think it makes the life of the secondary a hell of a lot easier. I'm not giving away a state secret when I say that. It just is what it is. My other thing that I'm curious to see is how much organic pressure do they rely on, meaning just sending four? And then are they going to be in a position where they're sending five and six guys at a time? That's what I want to see. That's the aggressive nature that we expect from a Joe Whit-led defense. 301-230-0980 is the number one. A mad dash to 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time before we hand things over to our pal Craig Hoffman. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll start to take a big picture look at the National Football League. When we return, the most highly anticipated power ranking segment in all of sports talk radio. It's Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL as we get geared up for week number one of the regular season. That is next here on the Team 980. The number here on the Chris Russell Show. Linnell Willingham sitting in for Chris Russell. We'll take you up to 4 o'clock before handing things over to our pal Craig Hoffman. Coming up, 3 o'clock, we'll hear from Clemson head coach, former Clemson head coach, Tommy Bowden, as we take a look at the college football season coming up ahead. We'll let you hear from Charles Davis before we get out of here potentially as well. But I want to go around the National Football League in the final hour of the show because burgundy and gold isn't the only thing that matters in the NFL. I know a lot of you out there, it's hard for you to believe, but there are 31 other teams that play in week one of the regular season. But before we get to that, Thursday Night Football is how we will kick things off. Ravens and Chiefs. I told you in the trending alert, no Marquise Hollywood Brown in the opener for KC as he's dealing with a shoulder injury. Andy Reid, though, sounding pretty optimistic that he won't miss too much time. But before we get to week number one, in honor of week number one, it's time for our first installment of the most highly anticipated power ranking segment in all of sports talk radio. Nell Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL as we get geared up for week one of the regular season.
Nell Super Six Pack. 3, 2, 1.
I take a tremendous amount of pride in this list. This is a list that is gospel. This is a list that the committee spent hours burning the midnight oil to make. Myself and a respected cast of football analysts worked hard overnight to get you all our first installment of Nell Super Six Pack. I want to start first this year. We'll do it every week this way. Our honorable mention, or as I'm calling it, not fly enough to get into the club. Meaning you weren't good enough to make this list, but before season's end, you may be on it. The new highly paid head coach of the Miami Dolphins, Mike McDaniel, his team is not fly enough to make it in the club. I like Miami. I like the additions they made defensively. I wonder up front if their offensive line, who lost two starters, will they be good enough to get Tua through a 17-game season? And then when it's not September and October, what version of the Dolphins will we see? That's to be determined. Not fly enough to get into the club. 49ers. Happy that you got Brandon Ayuk signed, but if we know anything about Trent Williams, and we know a lot about him here locally, when he wants his money, you better give it to him or else he's not going to play. I think that's where they're headed right now, him not being available for week one. That would give them one of the worst tackle duos in the NFL because their right tackle, Colton McKivitt's not very good. The other team not fly enough to get into the club, the Atlanta Falcons. Love signing Kirk Cousins. Love the veteran free agent acquisitions that you got. But the NFC, there's a changing of the guard going on. And it starts with number six, Inel's Super Six-Pack. My sixth best team in the NFL heading into week one, Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. I think there's an added element of toughness that they have offensively, bringing over Josh Jacobs from the Las Vegas Raiders. Their young wide receiver trio and Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jayden Reed. Hell, you could throw Dontavion Wicks in there as well. It's a good group. They drafted one of my favorite linemen in the draft, Jordan Morgan, played left tackle his whole college career. He's slated to be their starting right guard for week one. And then defensively, a group that was much maligned a year ago, add Xavier McKinney from the New York Giants. I think he's going to be a real game changer for them in the secondary. They come in at number six. Number five, their NFC North counterparts, the Fighting Dan Campbells. I have Detroit as the fifth best team in the NFL heading into week one. I think they're a team that's going to be sneaky. Sneaky because I think a hangover is expected for certain teams. Maybe, depending on who you are, you think Detroit is one of those teams that are due for one. I love what they were able to do on the defensive side of the football. Last year, they couldn't stop a common cold in the running game. You get better in the interior of your defense, bringing in DJ Reader, formerly of the Cincinnati Bengals. He is one of the top defensive tackles in all of the NFL. I think he's going to make a huge impact for that team. Then you go out to the Alabama defensive back well, and you reel in Terrion Arnold, who I think comes in right away and can establish himself as one of the best young members of the secondary in the National Football League. Brian Branch comes back healthy. We know they got that bad man, Aiden Hutchinson, on the edge. Him along with James Houston, you know, make up one of the better pass rushing duos in the NFL. I think the arrow is pointing up for sure on the Lions. Number four in Nell's Super Six Pack. My top six teams in the NFL getting geared up for week one of the regular season. The Brazil Eagles, the Philadelphia Eagles, who are set to open up their season in Brazil on Friday night against those Green Bay Packers. Adding Saquon Barkley is huge. I think it could have a similar impact that the McCaffrey acquisition had on the Niners. I think for the first time in his career, not being the sole focal point of an opposing defense is going to do numbers for him. Running behind this offensive line with the best tackle duo in football with Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson. I think the arrow is pointing up for Philadelphia as well. Their other sneaky signing that I think is going to have a big impact on their defense was bringing in Devin White from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, one of the best linebackers in the sport. Getting a little bit older, but still one of the best linebackers in the sport. He helps out a defense that's now going to be led by Vic Fangio. The question is, can Vic Fangio get the most out of this talented Eagles defense? They come in at number four. Number three, this is where it gets interesting. Number three, the Gotham City Jets. Third best team in the NFL. I know. Can they stay healthy? That's the big question. I'm banking on them being able to stay healthy. If they can, I don't think it's going to be your traditional Aaron Rodgers-led team where he throws for 40 touchdowns and 9 picks. He may not throw for 4,000 yards because the running back duo of Breece Hall and Braylon Allen running behind one of the best offensive lines in football, if they can stay healthy, is going to be the straw that stirs the drink for the New York Jets offensively. You know what? Since I'm a great radio host and I want to give you an excellent tease, stick around to hear the final two teams in Nell's Super Six Pack in the final hour of power here on the Chris Russell Show next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.